Good afternoon again to everyone. I rely on your questions from time to time for the Bible studies to answer them. So if you have questions, please send them my way. I do want to answer a question today that comes up from time to time. Did the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob keep the Sabbath? Well, if we take a look, and we're going to go through a number of scriptures, and we're going to go through this in a logical manner to prove the answer to this question. If you take a look in Genesis 26, in Genesis 26, verses 2 through 4, and the occasion here is it starts out in verse 2, that the Lord appeared to Isaac, and he was saying, don't go to Egypt. No, just stay, live in the land which I give you, which is the land of Canaan. And he said, stay there, and then I will bless you and your descendants. And he goes on the verse 4, I will give your descendants of these lands and all your seed and all the nations of the earth should be blessed. Verse 5, because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. So this was God was telling Isaac, because of the promise to your father Abraham, the blessings to Abraham will be extended through you. Well, this promise to Abraham was a forever covenant through Isaac and Jacob and the generations to come. We read in Psalm 105 and verses 8 through 11. In Psalm 105, verses 8 through 11, he remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. That's a long time. Verse 9, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. Verse 11, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as an allotment of your inheritance. So we have this Abrahamic covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And God said, as we read in Genesis 26, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my commandments. It didn't say he picked and chose, decided which ones to do and which ones not to do. Now we have some evidence here further with regard to Isaac. We started out with him. And now we don't normally hear a lot about the patriarch Isaac, but he's referenced right in there with the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob trio. But his presence and influence is noted and respected by his son Jacob. In Genesis 31, there's a conversation between Jacob and Jacob's father-in-law, Laban. The occasion was this, that after 20 years in Syria, Jacob had grown a family, had developed flocks or herds, and it came time that he departed in a hurry from Syria for fear that his father-in-law would yet again change his wages, as he had done many times. And of course, as we read the details in Genesis 31, there was a reason Jacob thought that, because that's exactly what Laban was about to do. And in fact, God appeared in a dream to Laban and said, speak neither good nor evil to Jacob when you catch him or you meet up with him. And now, this had to be a pretty big impact on Laban. Here he was going to secure what he thought was his. He called all the grandchildren his children. He called all the herds and flocks his. He had changed Jacob's wages many times. In Genesis 31 and verse 42, we read what Jacob said to his father-in-law Laban. Unless the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely now you would have sent me away empty-handed. God has seen my affliction in the labor of my hands and rebuked you last night. This was through the dream that Laban had. And sure enough, otherwise why would Laban be there? He wasn't coming for a friendly chit-chat. He brought his men with him. If we continue on in Genesis 31, looking down to verse 53. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, Abraham's father, and the God of their father judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. So they were deciding. And this is where Jacob put a pile of rocks up, he and Laban did, and said, Jacob will not cross that divider to go after anything that's owed or that's owned by Laban. And Laban agrees not to pass that pile of rocks to go to Canaan for anything that he would like to claim. And that, we have that that information in a previous message about the nature and the details of that as to what was really involved there. So Jacob then notice again in verse 53, he invoked the fear of his father Isaac. So the use of this word fear, and if you look it up, it can mean just fear, shaking, but can also mean awesome respect or reverence and an understanding of the consequences of one's actions. Now, Mr. Crane's sermon we just heard referenced to Deuteronomy 14 about going to the feast and rejoicing and learning to fear the Lord. Learning that kind of awesome understanding, the respect, the reverence of God, and the consequences of one's actions. Because we're not free from the consequences of our actions just because we understand or believe God. We can turn to Deuteronomy 5:29. God often puts the relationship between fear and keeping his commandments and a blessing. In Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29, oh, that they would have such a heart in me, or in them, that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Wasn't say, well, it'll be true for a while. Wasn't true for just this lifetime. It's an understanding that would be well with them forever. We're in Deuteronomy, let's go to chapter 6 and verse 2. And there in Deuteronomy 6:2, we read, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, and you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Well, that's interesting. So that fear of God is put together with the keeping of the commandments, and it goes through the generations, not just for this life, but your days may be prolonged. So you'll live a long life. And of course, we know that when you follow the commandments of God, you will live a happier life. Well, if we notice the word fear then is connected to keeping of God's commandments, the commandments include keeping the Sabbath day holy. We're still in Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy 8 and verse 6. Therefore, Deuteronomy 8:6, therefore you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and to fear him. So here again, we have this understanding of consequences. We have the awe of God, and we have deep respect and reverence for God. We're in Deuteronomy. Let's go to 13, verse 4. And we have the same, a similar instruction in Deuteronomy 13:4. You shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, you shall serve him and hold fast to him. Well, the fear of his father Isaac, Jacob, mentioned that in a couple of times. Where do you suppose that Isaac learned to fear God? And as we read at the outset of the message, the Bible notes as we started in Genesis 26, that Isaac's father Abraham obeyed God and kept his commandments. Isaac would have learned from childhood the importance of loving and obeying God. We get a hint of Isaac's behavior when we read in Genesis 24, Genesis 24, verse 63, about Isaac's behavior when he was anticipating the arrival of his future bride, Rebekah. And what do we read in Genesis 24, verse 63? And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide and lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. They were bringing his bride to him. Did he know that at the time when he went out to the field? No. It didn't say that. It just says he went out. And it appears it was his custom. which is an expectation God has and instructs us to meditate upon his word. So we get this, that little bit of a glimpse of Isaac's behavior, just this little tidbit. And so if we can carry on the next generation, then Isaac's own son, Jacob, we've read, was well acquainted with Isaac's proper fear of God. God would not have reiterated the Abrahamic promise through Isaac if Isaac were not keeping the commandments of God. So not only does the fear of the Lord include keeping the Sabbath, but the subsequent practice of keeping all of the commandments provides a basis for wisdom. If we take a look in Psalm 111, verse 10, Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord tells us a little bit about it in Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's pretty blunt. If you want wisdom, you need to learn fear, awe, respect, reverence for God and his ways. The rest of the verse, a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. So this is a reinforcement of the fear of Isaac when an acknowledgement that his fear was a proper and a respectful one. And so if we then take a look in Psalm 112, we're real close here, in 112 verse 1, we have the fear of the Lord and the keeping of the commandments then results in blessings. In Psalm 112 and verse 1, praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. So if we have somebody who has the proper fear and respect of God, he's going to want to follow what God's instructions are. In Ecclesiastes 12:13, we read about what Solomon thought. And Solomon had every earthly advantage known to man. But he had promised he had great difficulty putting limits on his own behavior. But he was granted then the wisdom to ultimately reach a remarkable conclusion as to what is expected in each of us in this life, in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. And I'm going to read in the King James, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for that is a good idea. That is something nice to do. That is good when you get around to it. No, it ends with, for this is the whole duty of man. So once we learn, as the patriarchs did, to fear God and keep his commandments, that leads us then to a greater understanding and greater blessings. It's interesting to note that looking at Isaac, the fear of Isaac was the fear of God and the keeping of commandments, that Isaac outlived the other two named patriarchs. His father Abraham lived to be 175. Jacob, his son, lived to be 147. But Isaac himself, the middle of the three patriarchs, reached the age of 180. So we don't know a lot about Isaac, but we do know that it was repeated over and over that he developed the healthy fear of the Lord. We read, and I'm not going to turn there, but I will note Abraham in Genesis 25, verses 7 and 8, lived 175 years. Jacob in Genesis 27:28 lived 147 years. 17 of those were in Egypt, his last 17. And so Isaac himself then lived longer than either Abraham or Jacob in Genesis 35:28, reached the age of 180 years. Well, I'm not at the halfway point yet, so let's hope that I have the proper fear of God to get to the halfway point, which would be, what, 90 years. Well, Isaac was noted for having a healthy fear of the consequences of not keeping the commandments of God, and he was then granted a long life. We read in Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. So if we follow the instructions that God gives us, keep his law, there's a better chance that we're going to live a longer period of time. So this proper respect and reverence of God causes, and that's true for us individually, will cause us to take better care of ourselves, both physically and spiritually. And the consequence of that would be to prolong our lives physically, but also prolong our lives by giving us a spiritual, everlasting life. Well, then we have the naysayers who say, but even if the patriarchs keep the Sabbath, weren't God's laws changed or done away? Well, if we look at Micah 3:6, we have the tools to answer that question, the follow-up question. Because even if they did, that doesn't mean we have to do that now. In Micah 3:6, for I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, meaning destroyed. So God isn't changing things. We read it, then we turn to Hebrews, verse 13, or chapter 13, verse 8. And this one you may have memorized in Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this understanding means that, no, the law is not being changed. If we look in Galatians chapter 3, in Galatians 3, starting in verse 6, in Galatians 3, starting in verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of faith are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. So God, Abraham knew the gospel. He knew the good news of the kingdom of God. And he knew the plan of God, which would have included the understanding of the Sabbath. So we look, continuing on in verse 8, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in all the nation, in you, all the nations shall be blessed. So it's through the Abrahamic promise. And then verse 9, so those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So now we understand that we are the descendants of Abraham through faith, if we fear God and keep his commandments. Well, does that mean we only need faith? It just says right here, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. So we only need faith and we don't need God's law, including the Sabbath, meaning it's not necessary. Let's take a look at Romans 2 and verse 13. In Romans 2:13. This is talking about people who are hearers of the law. A lot of people have heard the law. A lot more people are hearers of the law. Let's look at Romans 2, verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. What did God say about Abraham? That included Isaac and Jacob. Is that they were faithful, but they were doers of the law. In Romans 3, we're in Romans. Let's look at Romans 3, 31. Then we make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. So Abraham and Isaac and Jacob then through their faith kept the law as best they could. And of course, we're all humans and we do as best we can in an imperfect manner. But we're doing so that the generations to follow them then would have, as it says, established the law. So we also know that the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, will be in the coming kingdom of God. In Matthew 8:11, it's pretty blunt. It's right there in Matthew 8 and verse 11. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Not going to happen if they're not there. See, not only will Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob be in the coming kingdom of God, the Bible reveals that the weekly Sabbath will be kept during the millennial kingdom of God. So if we take a look at Isaiah 66:23, I don't know if anyone caught this in the feast this year, in Isaiah 66 and verse 23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says the Lord. That means the Sabbath will be kept during the millennial kingdom of God. And because we read that God's law doesn't change, we read that in Micah 3 and Hebrews 13, we know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will keep the Sabbath in the coming kingdom of God. It would be contra-biblical and contra-logical for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to enter the kingdom of God and then only for the first time learn about keeping the weekly Sabbath and the other laws of God. Yes, so let's take a look at what we've covered here. In summary, first, the Abrahamic promises extended to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because they kept God's law. Number two, the fear of Isaac is a lesson for all of us to have awe and respect and reverence for God and His holy and His laws. We know that the fear that Isaac was referring to extends our physical lives, that our days would be prolonged. We also know that the fear that of Isaac, as referred to, extends our spiritual lives to eternity in the kingdom of God. We also know that the fear described of Isaac receives or caused him to receive the blessings that we read in Psalm 112 and Galatians 3, both in this life and in the kingdom of God. And the next we wrote that the fear of Isaac is a lesson for all of us is, as we read Solomon's word in Ecclesiastes 12, that's the whole duty of man. We've also covered that God's expectation of keeping His laws, including the Sabbath, don't change. We read that in Micah 3 and Hebrews 13. We know that in point 4 that patriarchs were not just faithful in spirit, but they were doers of the law in Romans 2 and Romans 3. And the fifth point, patriarchs will be in the kingdom of God where the Sabbath will be kept in Matthew 8 and Isaiah 66. So if we go back, and if somebody throws the question to you because they can't read it in their own Bible because we have to put line upon line, precept upon precept, we should be able to answer our original question. Did the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, keep the Sabbath? And now you have the tools to be able to answer that.